Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter number 16 today. Matthew chapter number 16. As we continue our series here that we've entitled Build. And we're focusing in especially on verse 18. Now we're going to pick up in verse number 13, kind of set the stage. But this series is all about verse number 18 and the promise that Jesus makes. And we'll spend a good amount of time in verse number 18 this morning. But let's pick up in verse number 13 and get clued in to where we're at and what Jesus is saying. It says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that you are John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said unto them, but whom say you that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this moment that we can spend looking into your word today. And we continue to ask you to speak to each and every one of our hearts. Lord, there may be some here in person with us. There may be some watching online that have never trusted Jesus to be their Savior. And I pray that today would be the day your Spirit would convict them of their wrongdoing against you. The Bible calls it sin. And they would trust in Jesus as the only way of salvation. And God, for a group of believers that have gathered together in person and online, I pray that you'd help us to continually keep our focus on Jesus and Him alone. He is the one who is the author and finisher of our faith. And so we need to look only unto Him. Use your word to challenge us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so as you can see from the graphics here, we're talking about Lego. Any of you seen the Lego Master Builders TV show? They have a TV show. It's a competition where they build with Lego. And yeah, you can put your hands down. Awesome. I learned, we say Legos all the time, like we're going to play Legos or whatever. That's not actually a word. So you're not supposed to say Legos. So all you that have watched the show, you're going to hear me say Legos a million times. I'm sorry, that's what I grew up saying. But technically, you're going to play Lego. You're not going to play Legos. But that show's so fascinating to see the different things that they create. And for some of us, as we talked about last week, that's just what we love to do. We love to take things and just build whatever and use our imagination and create, and we've done that in the past. But for some of us, we like the specific Lego sets. And we want to play and build in that genre. And I'm kind of curious this morning, if somebody would share with us, what's your favorite genre? Maybe it's Harry Potter, maybe it's the Avengers, maybe it's something else. What is your favorite set to build with, Grayson? He's like the Star Wars sets. Man, that's a lot of fun. There's so many things to create. Yes, what's Minecraft with Legos? Yes. Cameron? The space theme ones. And when I was a kid, there was like three different kinds. There was knights, pirates, and space was one of them. And so we played with all the space stuff. Yes. Yeah, Lego Friends. I know what that is because my daughters love Lego Friends. They have tons of the Lego Friends set. And so that is so much fun. All the tree houses and everything else. Yes. The knight ones. So you like the knights and the shining armor and all that stuff. I think for my girls, they're not raising their hands, but I'm going to speak for them. I think Harry Potter would probably be their favorite of the Lego sets. Yes, what's yours? What is that? The ninja ones. All right. Lego Ninjago, right? Ninjago, Ninjago? How was I say it? Ninjago. Okay, I was right the first time. All right. For me, it's pirates. It's always been pirates. And I just love the pirate sets. And being able to create all the hidden bases and forts and everything else. And I remember some of the ones that we created when we were kids would have secret doors that would open up to hideouts with treasure and skeletons and pirates and all this kind of stuff. And we just let our imagination go. But pirates was my absolute favorite. And as I was getting ready for this series, I knew I needed a pirate set. I'm like, I'm going to go out, I'm going to buy a pirate set. So I was reliving my childhood. And I remember the day that I had it in the box, and I told my wife, Lysandra, I said, today for work, I've got to build this Lego set. And she said, why don't you just have the girls build it? I'm like, no, this is mine. Like, I want to build it. I want to spend the time to build. So I did. I spent time building it. And you know, as I built this thing, which was a lot of fun, actually, my favorite part of the build was not even involved in the ship. It was this right here. The shark. It is beyond adorable. This is the only shark I want to get near, by the way. But creating the shark, I think, was my absolute favorite part of the build. But I didn't want somebody else to build it for me. I didn't want my daughters to build it for me. I wanted to build it myself. Why? Because it's mine. I want to build it. And Jesus likes to build as well. We pointed that out last week, and we're going to talk about it again today and really focus in on the fact that the church is built by Jesus. And we should never lose sight of that. Sometimes we can lose sight of that. We look at this person, this position, this title as the one who builds the church, and that is completely false. The church is built by Jesus. And we're going to really focus hard on that here this morning. And I think it's a great reminder for all of us in the position that we're in this morning. But look at Matthew chapter number 16. And we're going to kind of review a little bit, make our way through here until we get to the topic that we want to cover today. Beginning in verse number 13 of Matthew chapter number 16. And one of the things I want to encourage you to do is make sure you have the Bible with you. So if you have your paper copy, great. If you have your digital copy, awesome. If for whatever reason you don't have access to those, we put the words up here because we want you to see it for yourself. And all the words are given to us for a reason, and they're important. And sometimes we read over some things and we don't really pay attention when they have a lot of meaning. So beginning at verse number 13, it says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi. Now, that's important information for us. We'll get into that towards the end of the message here. But I want you to understand, as we move along in this portion of Scripture, Jesus is just not asking a random question at a random place. Jesus doesn't do random things. He does not do things just because. He doesn't ask questions just because. He has a reason for everything that he has ever done. You understand that? He has a reason for what he is doing right now. He has a reason for what he is going to do in the future. So we'll get back to Caesarea Philippi in just a little bit here, but I want to point that out to you, that he's there in that place asking that question for a specific reason. And it says he asked his disciples saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that you are John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And as we mentioned last week, I love just to study the way that Jesus does things. And here he starts this conversation in the most non-threatening way possible. Okay, he wants to get it down to them, to the individual. But a lot of times if we come right at somebody, what happens? Defenses go up. So what he's going to do is he's going to take the most non-threatening way to get right to their heart. And he begins by asking them about everybody else. Who does everybody else say that I, the Son of Man, am? And this is where a lot of people like to stay. They want to talk about everybody else and never get down to themselves. So he asked that question, and of course they have the answer here, John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the other prophets. And then this is where Jesus turns it around now to focus in on themselves, focus in on the individual. And he says in verse 15, but whom say you that I am? You know, who do you say that I am? And one of the things that you and I need to do is we need to stop thinking about everybody else. Because some of us sit here and we hear the message, we hear the pastor preaching, and we're thinking about all the people, man, I wish they were here to hear this. I'm going to share this with them on Facebook because they're the ones that need to hear it. I'm going to go on YouTube and I'm going to share it with them because they need to hear it. During this time, the only person you need to think about is you. Stop thinking about everybody else. Your own personal devotion. Sometimes we read some things and it's like, oh man, this person needs this. This, our country, this is all about this. No, forget all that. The Bible's worthless until you apply it to yourself. That's what it's written for. It's written so that you can change your life. Stop focusing in on everybody else. And Jesus turns the attention to their own hearts. Who do you say that I am? And that's what really matters. And for some of you, that's the question that you need to answer this morning is, who is Jesus to you? Because some of you have never trusted in Jesus. Maybe you're here watching online. You've never put your faith and trust in Jesus for salvation. You have to answer the question of who is Jesus to you. Some of you in the room need to answer that question. And Simon Peter here answers that question in verse number 16 where he says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, who can remind us, what does the word Christ mean? Who can remind us? Go ahead and shout it out if you know what it is. Messiah. Yeah, Messiah. All right, a lot of people paying attention last week. The Messiah. And remember, that points to the work that the Savior would do. And we spent some time in 1 Corinthians 15 explaining what the gospel is, because the church is built on the gospel. That should be the focus of everything that we do. And there were three parts to the gospel, three parts to what the Messiah would do. What's the first part according to 1 Corinthians 15? What was it? All right. A little kind of weak. All right, Pastor Plinus has it over here. Death. Remember he said that he would die according to the scriptures. All right, what's the second part? Buried. All right, now we're on the same page. All right, good. And the third part is what? Good. Rise again the third day according to the scriptures. That's what the gospel is. So sometimes we hear these words in church and we don't really know what they mean. The gospel is not the entire Bible. The gospel is not the entire life of Jesus. It is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And so when Peter said, you are the Christ, he was pointing to what Jesus would do as the Messiah, as the Savior. Verse 17 says, and Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And so that, last week we talked about the fact that it's built on the gospel. And we want to move forward today and talk about the fact that the church is built by Jesus. Look at the promise in verse number 18. And I say also unto you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now remember last week we pointed out the play of words in the Greek that was happening here with Peter's name. Peter was the idea of a part of a stone. Okay, so he was the small thing hewn out of a big stone, out of a big rock. And that's when he said, hey, you're Peter, Petros. That's what that means. Then he says, but upon this rock, and not speaking about Peter, the little piece that was hewn out, he's talking about the big, solid rock. Pointing back to where Peter said, you are the Christ, you are the Messiah. That is what the church was going to be built on. But according to verse number 18 here, who does Jesus say is going to build his church? Who did he say? I. That's right. Many of you got it. I, Jesus said. Jesus said, I will build my church. So he is the one who says, I'm going to build it. And sometimes we try to take that responsibility ourselves. Hey, I'm going to be the one to build the church. No, you're not. Sometimes we place that responsibility on someone else, like they're going to build the church. It's their job, it's their responsibility. No, that's not what he says at all. Jesus says, I, referring to himself, will build my church. So the church is built by the Lord Jesus Christ, that it belongs to him, and he says he's going to build it. Just as my wife asked me, well, how come you don't have the girls build that Lego pirate ship? Well, because it's mine. It's mine. I'm going to build it. And sometimes people try to take, and we've seen this happen in our house. I don't know what happened in your house, but our girls, they'll play the Legos, and they're taking stuff from each other. Or one of them will get a new Lego set for their birthday or for something else, Christmas, and one of the other sisters will try to build the set. That usually doesn't go over well. Usually that's when dad has to step in with the girls. And most of the time that's it. That'll solve the problem. All they got to do is hear that. Why? Because somebody else is trying to take mine and build it. And Jesus says, hey, the church is mine. I'm the one that's going to build it. Now, don't get me wrong. That doesn't take away our responsibility, and we're going to talk about that next week because the church is built with people. So I'm not saying people aren't important. You have a responsibility, and we'll get there next week. But the focus is on the fact that Jesus is the one who builds the church. And you notice what Paul says in Acts chapter 20. If you have your Bible there, turn to Acts 20. If you don't, it'll be on the screen behind me. In Acts chapter 20, the Apostle Paul says this in verse number 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock. Now Paul is speaking to the leaders of the church at Ephesus. And once again, we're going to focus next week on the fact that the church is built with people. So we do have a responsibility and a part to play. But he says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, notice this, which he has purchased with his own blood. Talking about Jesus. He purchased it. And when I think about what it says here about Jesus' purchase and the price that was paid, it got me thinking about what's the most expensive thing that you have ever purchased? What's the most expensive thing that you have ever purchased? Somebody want to share with us, what is the most expensive thing that you have personally ever purchased? Cameron. One of your games. And the price for those games goes up and up and up and up. Yeah. Yes, ma'am. Janice.
New car.
New car, right? Camaro, probably, right?
Oh. Malibu, 20.
That's right. Malibu, that's right. Yeah. Beautiful car. And cars can be expensive. That's a big purchase. Yeah, Patty.
A home.
Yeah, for a lot of us, that is the most expensive. How many of you, my house is the most expensive thing I've ever bought. Who's with me? All right, yeah, for most of us, that's it. That's the most expensive thing. How many of you are with Janice? The car, that's the most expensive thing I've ever built, purchased. I mean, yeah, for a lot of us, those are the top two. Anybody else have anything else most expensive? Yes. Ukulele, yes, and maybe we'll hear that soon here sometime. Ukulele, right? Sometime soon? Okay, good. That's a verbal contract. She's going to play her ukulele very soon, right up here. And instruments, man, they can be so costly. Well, we think about, some of us look at things differently based upon what we have. Because for some in here, buying a video game is so expensive. For some of us in here, buying an instrument is so expensive. But for other of us, that's not really that expensive. We could go drop $80 for a video game and wouldn't think much about it. Some of us in here. Some of us could go drop $400, $500, $600 on a ukulele and not think much about it. Now, for some of us, we're like, whoa, that's a lot of money. Some of us could go buy a new car, and you know what? That's not really that much money. Some of us in here, that's expensive. I can't do that. Most of us in here would say, yeah, house, that's expensive. But it all depends on what we have and what it costs. Jesus says the price for the church was my own blood. And I don't care who you are, there's not a higher cost that you can pay than with your life. I think about the people that have given their lives so that we can enjoy the freedom. This past week, the people that have died and given their life so that we can enjoy the freedoms. There's no greater cost than that. And here, Jesus says the church is his because he purchased it with his own blood. The price that he paid was with his life. So make no mistake about it, the church belongs to Jesus. Okay? The church does not belong to the pastor. The church does not belong to the deacons. The church does not belong to the people. Okay? The church belongs to Jesus and him alone. Paul puts it this way in Colossians chapter number 1. And when we think about this promise where Jesus said, I will build my church, I want to remind you of exactly who Jesus is. And we see that in Colossians chapter number 1 here, beginning in verse number 16, where it tells us this, speaking about Jesus, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. So notice the one who owns the church, that he is the creator of the universe. He created all things. Paul continues on thinking about the person who owns the church and who has taken responsibility to build it. He says he's also the sustainer of the universe. Notice in verse number 17, he is before all things, and by him all things consist. In other words, hold together, continue to run and operate. So he didn't just create it and just let it go. He created it, and he continues to make sure that it operates and it works. Without him, we all cease to exist in a moment. He is continuing to hold all things together. That is our Savior. And you notice in verse number 18, and he is the head of the body, the church. So he wants to remind us of who he is as the one who owns the church, as the head of the church. I created all things, Jesus said. I am the one who holds all things together. And a lot of times in moments of transition like this, that can bring out some fear to us. Because there's a lot of unknown. There's a lot of uncertainty. I mean, what's going to happen when this pastor steps away? What's going to happen in this whole process of finding another pastor? What's going to happen when he comes? And there's so much uncertainty. Can I tell you one thing? It's never going to change. Jesus is the head of the church. It belongs to him. If he created the universe, he can take care of things here at Good News. If he is the one that sustains and keeps everything in the universe going, he can make sure that this church keeps going. That is the person who's taken responsibility to build the church. And you go back to Matthew 16 and notice this promise here. Where he says, I say also unto you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And man, we think about who Jesus is as the creator, as the sustainer. He said, I will build my church. And then he says this, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And one of the things that Jesus wants to emphasize is there is nothing that can stop Jesus from doing what he says he's going to do. Jesus has promised that he would build his church, and that nothing, as the creator of everything, is the one who holds all things together, there is nothing that can stop him from doing what he said he was going to do. And so he makes that statement there that the gates of hell. Now, a couple years ago, I preached a message series called Hellfire and Brimstone. And we noted in that series that in the English, when you read the word hell, there's a number of different Greek words and Hebrew words that are translated the same exact way. They all have maybe just a little bit different connotation. And you can go on my Facebook page and look that up if you're curious about those different words. The word here in Matthew 16, 18 is the word Hades. So this is what Jesus said out of his mouth in the Greek. He said, the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. And that's important for us to know because there was a literal place in Caesarea Philippi called the gates of Hades. So once again, as I pointed out at the start of the message, he's not just asking a random question at a random place. He has a very specific reason for asking that question and saying what he's saying. So when Jesus says, the gates of Hades will not prevail against it, he's speaking about a specific place that the disciples could go and walk to and look at and see with their own eyes. When he said the gates of Hades, they knew in their mind exactly the place that Jesus was talking about. He's not talking about some random thought of what hell is in our minds. And I've heard pastors and other people talk about the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And so we're going to charge hell with a water pistol or whatever. Like, no, that's not what Jesus is saying. It's not some sort of figmental illustration. He's talking about a literal place that would bring to mind some very specific thoughts. So the gates of Hades was a cave to the north of Caesarea Philippi. It was believed by the people in this day to be the birthplace of Pan, which is one of their gods. And I wrote it down here. Pan was the god of nature, fields, forest, mountains, flocks, and shepherds. And so they're at the cave, they built a sanctuary to the god Pan, and the worshipers would come to the mouth of the cave and they would offer sacrifices and all these different things. And it was believed that that cave opened a portal to the underworld, which they called Hades. So they believed literally that cave led into the underworld there. And what would happen is during the winter season that the gods of fertility would flood to that portal. And so they would go in there, and then there were all kinds of, you know, we got kids in the room, but there was all kinds of filthy acts of worship that they would do there in that place. So that's what Caesarea Philippi was known for when he said the gates of Hades. But that wasn't the only religious thing that was taking place there. Archaeologists have found 14 temples to the god Baal in that area of Caesarea Philippi. 14 of them. That's the ones they found so far. But that wasn't the only religious thing that was taking place there. There was a temple, I think it was made out of white marble, that was built by, let's see, who was it? Herod the Great built it. And he built it for Caesar worship. It was built as a monument to the god of Caesar. And so people would come and they'd worship Caesar there in that place. And I think it's so fascinating to think about what Jesus says and does. Because once again, he doesn't do things at random. He goes to this place that is known for all of this false worship. And he says, hey, who's everybody saying I am? Of course, all these people have all these ideas of who Jesus is. Yeah, but who do you say that I am? Well, Jesus, you're the Messiah. You're the Savior that would come, the only one that could save us in the midst of all these false gods. And Jesus says, you know what? You're right, Peter. You're absolutely right. And based upon what you just said, that Jesus is the Messiah, I will build my church. In all of the false religions, all the false gods, false faiths, all the darkness that you can possibly think of that takes place in the name of religion cannot stop me building my church. That was true in Jesus' day. That is true in our day. You stop and you think about all the wickedness that is taking place all around us all the time. It does not matter how dark or wicked it gets in this world. Nothing can stop Jesus from building his church. Nothing. And sometimes we get so afraid and we get so worried and we get so upset because of this and because of that and whatever. Remember who the one is that takes responsibility for the church. It's Jesus. And so he says, listen, nothing can stop him from building his church. Pan cannot stop Jesus from building his church. Baal cannot stop Jesus from building his church. Caesar could not stop him. It was true then, it's true today. The church is built by Jesus, and absolutely nothing is going to stop him. Are you a little bit discouraged this morning? Are you worried about what the future holds here? Do you have a fear about what's going to happen next? The church is built by Jesus. You don't have to worry or fear. He knows what he's doing. And he is always in control. He never loses control for a moment. Notice what he says in Matthew 16, verse number 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that you are John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said unto them, "But whom say you that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood is not revealed unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. The church is built by Jesus. And if you've been looking to anyone else, then you need to get your eyes back on Jesus today.